This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. I'm Bo Matthews. Thanks for tuning in, and we appreciate you if you share the show with other like-minded individuals. Mark Cox alongside, and our executive producer, VIP, is Carl Middleman.
Ciao.
And how are you, gentlemen?
We're back.
Doing great. So you're playing...
This is the Amboy Dukes.
The Amboy Dukes. Ted Nugent, the Amboy Dukes. I thought you would play... Fred Bear, because that might have been a good song for us today.
It's really slow start the thing. And we are going to talk bears today.
Yes, we are going to talk about bears, because bears have been spotted all over the place. What do you think?
And we're going to talk about Ted Nugent, too.
Yeah, we are. It's just a great circle that we've drawn here for you.
We got a lot. But before we get to any of that, man, why are we hearing so much gun rhetoric on mainstream media? It is all over the place from the top down, too.
It's been crazy. Because it's election season and they don't want to talk about the economy. So they, being the left, has to bring up the issues that they think abortion and guns that will motivate their base. And there's no other excuse for it, right? This week, if you were paying any attention at all, the Surgeon General of the United States, a guy that Republicans tried to prevent from getting that job because of his past role in comments in anti-gun groups and support for anti-gun measures. They knew what this guy was going to do. He promised in his confirmation hearings, Vivek Murthy, that he wouldn't try to take any independent action on guns. And what did he do this week? Carl, let's hear from Mika Brzezinski on MSDNC on what he's trying to do here.
And the policies that could be enacted to save lives. Those recommendations include banning automatic rifles, implemented universal background checks, restricting gun use in public spaces, and penalizing those who fail to safely store their firearms. And
yeah, that's Mika talking about what policies could be enacted because the Surgeon General has decided to declare guns a public health crisis.
But we already do a lot of the things that she just mentioned.
Of course, we do.
It's more noise from the left. And as a matter of fact, Biden himself, you know, it's time once again to do what I did when I was a senator, ban assault weapons. And I mean it. He comes out, you know, guns ablazing, if you will. And then he I love when he brings up the F-15s.
It's insulting. It's just insulting.
Well, but if you think of it in a dystopian future, it's kind of freaky because his quote was, and by the way, if they want to think to take on government if we get out of line, which they are, which they're talking again about, well, guess what? They need F-15s. They don't need a rifle. What kind of threat is that? I mean, doesn't that come off as a threat when you hear that?
We're going to use the military to strafe you if you disagree with us on anything. I mean, that's tongue in cheek. The point here is that for years, since the Obama administration, they have discussed trying to classify this as a health crisis so they can attack it in ways that the Second Amendment would not allow them to do through Congress. Constitutionally, I have the right to keep and bear arms. It shall not be infringed. And they think they can do an end run around the Second Amendment by declaring it a health crisis, like cancer being caused by smoking, which allowed them to put big labels on the side of cigarette cases and all. Well, guess what? Your right to smoke is not guaranteed by the Constitution. I've got bad news for you.
Yeah. And if you are a Second Amendment supporter, you believe in it, maybe you don't even own a firearm. you know, maybe it's time. And I'd say if you're starting out, a quality AR platform is probably a good idea, because you don't know what's going to happen, or a Glock, or maybe a Remington 12 gauge. But then you got to train. And I've been to the range twice this week, because I'm preparing for what we're going to be talking about in the show.
Yeah.
But I went once, had a good experience, but I thought, man, before I go on this big excursion, I want to go one more time, because I don't want to embarrass myself on this. I don't know if you call it, it's not a big game hunt, but it's, you know, my first hunt for sure. I just don't know, you know, I don't want to embarrass myself. So training, and train with others as well, that we'll, you know, people have knowledge.
We'll talk about that here in a second. But if you come back from this, Bo, and try to tell me that a boar is not a big game, I think you'll be a little surprised. They're pretty big.
That's what I'm considering.
So just quickly before we get into that, this week the Supreme Court made a decision that the United States, that the people like the states like Missouri that challenged the Biden administration on trying to suppress conservative thoughts on social media, the Supreme Court decided they wouldn't get into the merits of it because it's pretty obvious it happened. They'd throw it out because they claim it didn't have standing. Do you see? So in other words, it's very clear the Biden administration tried to influence what social media allowed to be posted on its sites, solely based on whether or not they agreed or disagreed with the opinion. So what happens next if, for example, a future Surgeon General decides to declare speech as a public health crisis?
Sure.
Right? Absolutely. I mean, think about that. Because in this case, they were suppressing your First Amendment right to express your opinion just because they didn't like it. They used inside tracks at social media companies to get it shut down. So all you have to do is replace Second Amendment with First Amendment, and this sounds even more outrageous to some people. But that's why I'm concerned about what happened this week.
But go back to COVID, though.
Yeah.
When churches, you know, people were not gathering at churches. They were doing all these, you know, Facebook church and stuff like that. That, to me, was also physically, healthily dangerous to society.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to put that into context when you're thinking of what we're talking about here.
So Bo Matthews, I told you I've given you the new nickname Shooter. I am, because I went trap shooting with you. I went to sporting clay shooting. You did incredibly well at it. And now you're going to use a different kind of gun, not a shotgun, but a rifle. And you're going on an excursion this weekend. As people are listening to this, it'll be taking place. That has made me very, very jealous because you're going with one of my favorite musicians.
Actually, it'll be over by the time anybody's listening to this program. But the hunt day up in Michigan with Ted, well, maybe not hunting with Ted Nugent, but it's going to be on Ted Nugent's property. And Ted has promised to be at the campfire at the Wild Game Lunch we'll be enjoying after the hunt is over with. And I mean, he's promising to, you know, take pictures, sign autographs, play some music, all that stuff. And so my buddy Big Onion, Jim Allen, he's the one that actually brought up the idea. And I was like, dude, you got to bring your guitar. And he goes, I don't want to embarrass Ted on my guitars. Okay, that's the kind of personality that I'm traveling with on this deal.
Wow. Guitar. I take album. I got an album cover at Motor City Madman. I've got Ted Nugent Double Live Gonzo. I've got a bunch of his albums at home. I could send one of those with you and get
Tell the audience about the hat you sent me a picture of that you have signed by Ted. Go ahead.
So a friend of mine ordered this from me from Ted Nugent, and it says "Re-elect that MF-er," and it's signed by Ted Nugent on the bill. So it's a red hat that's in white lettering on it, and it's signed by Ted Nugent. So maybe you'll pick up something like that while you're up there.
Well, the epiphany of this happening around the debate was just all the planets were lining up. So really excited about it. And again, it's my first one. It's my first time. I mean, I hunted rabbits as a kid and squirrels, but groundhogs here, but nothing big, nothing bigger.
We're going to get Big Onion on to talk about it a little bit later in the show with more details. Maybe how you could arrange to go on one of these at some point in the future. He'll give us more details on that coming up. In the meantime, there's bears. Everybody's seeing bears. They're all over the place. Bears in Baldwin, bears in Arnold. What do we do about it? How big of a problem is this? We're going to talk to our friend Dan Zarlinga from the Missouri Department of Conservation.
Make some porridge. Make some porridge for sure.
Share.
That'll draw them
in. Or make your bed a little too hard or too soft, and then they'll leave you
right.
alone.
We're back with more of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors in just a minute.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Baby, let me be your loving teddy bear. Put a chain around my neck.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. So happy you're along with us. Mark Cox, Bo Matthews, Carl Middleman here. Yeah, and that music is so fitting. You can always depend on Carl Middleman to set the scene, so to speak, because this week, the big news, at least in the immediate West County area, St. Louis, was the bear sighting. It was apparently a cub, and the best reaction I heard was somebody I know personally on Facebook. Her name is Lori, and this came from her Facebook page. Listen.
Hey! Oh my God! There's a bear in our house. There's a bear! Oh my God! I'm freaking out. There's a bear. That is a bear. They're in Baldwin. We have a bear in Baldwin. Hi. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh, and he's going. This is a bear in Baldwin. Hi, bear.
I told my friend Lori, I'm like, you are the reason the Baldwin Police Department had to put out a warning on Facebook to not try to pet the bear.
I almost said I'll have what she's having, but
Lori.
But it really went into her house?
No, it was across the street from her house. She saw it out in front of her house. I don't know why she said it's in our house, but it was at her house. And you see the little cub. I mean, she recorded it on Facebook as it was walking along. So everybody's seen this bear, and it's apparently made its way down toward Arnold, apparently.
No concern about Mama Bear being around? Has she not heard child stories?
Well, she wasn't chasing it. I mean, it was probably 50 yards away from her across the street. I don't think she was in any physical danger from the bear.
Was there video? Was there video to go along with that audio?
Yeah, you can see the video.
And how big was it, do you think?
I don't know, but I know somebody who might have a pretty good idea about that. That's our friend Dan Zarlinga from the Missouri Department of Conservation. And I'm sure he's heard more about this bear than he cares to. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You know, when occasions like this arise, we have to go to the experts because we've talked to you about when there was bear season, I think, when they started that last year. And this is not the first time we've seen bears in a fairly populated area in West St. Louis County.
That's absolutely true. And I would also be pretty good to bet that it won't be the last time. Yeah, we have definitely seen a rise in bear sightings in the last few years, and it's becoming almost like a consistent ritual come like May and June to see reports and or have some, thing going on with a bear somewhere or close by Jefferson County or something like that. And the reason is pretty simple, because we have a bear population that is growing in two ways. A, it's growing in size. We estimate now we have about 900 bears, and it's growing. They're growing at 8 or 9% per year, which I would love to have a raise that high every year.
Yeah.
And and they are also expanding their territory. They're moving farther north. forth. So as time goes by, I think these things are going to become even more common to the point where some may even be news.
Well, Dan, is it something that people have an eye on? Have you found this exact bear cub yet, or are you looking? Do you have a crew out there? What's going on?
So I would say that we are kind of monitoring the situation. What our hope is that the bear is going to move along on its own volition to areas of less population and a more suitable habitat. And because that's their instinct, and that's exactly what it seems to be doing. The last report I got this morning was that it was around Imperial. So it seems to be making its way farther and farther south, which is a good thing because that's less and less population the farther
it's really
goes.
Covering. And yeah, it's covering a lot of habitat. It's covering a lot of ground because if this is the exact same bear from Baldwin, I mean, it's probably faster than getting on 270 and 55 in traffic to get down to Imperial because that's quite a few miles.
Yeah, well, it depends on what time of day you go. But yes, absolutely. I think we started getting reports around Friday or so, and that was in the Baldwin, Wildwood, Ellisville type area. And then by Sunday or Monday, it was in Sunset Hills, yesterday Arnold, now Imperial. So it is moving in a good direction. Now, of course, we can't 100% say it's the same bear because we don't have a tag on it or a collar, but you know, it seems to be matching with all the reports that people are seeing. And you mentioned the mother, and it's an interesting point. To the split hairs on a technicality, it is probably not actually a cub or a baby. It is what we would call a young adult, because what happens is it's probably around 2 years old or so, and that's about the time that the mothers actually kick the sub-adults or young adults out of the den so they can make the room for the cubs, the new cubs that are coming along. So basically, this bear, it is youngish looking for sure, but it's probably in human terms like late teens, early 20s. And that's, so it's getting out on its own, it's discovering its way, it's finding its way, it's establishing itself. And that's kind of probably where we're at. So I wouldn't expect the mother to be close by or anything like that. The mother's probably said, get the heck out. And it's on its own now.
Well, you know, maybe this is sort of a question that doesn't apply here, but at what point would the bear have to threaten someone before you would? I kind of figured maybe animal control or somebody from the state might try to, you know, knock the bear out and then put it in a truck and drive it back to a rural area somewhere. Instead, they just kind of, like you said, you're just kind of monitoring it.
Yeah, so that's a good question, and we've gotten that before. Why aren't you guys trapping this bear and moving it to a safe location? Well, our first course of action here is to let the bear do that on its own. I mean, rather than trying to capture it, subject it to the stress of tranquilization and relocation, and it wakes up in a strange place that it didn't find itself. And so it's kind of like our trapping and relocating is only like a last resort. And I'll give you a few examples where we have done it. A couple of years ago, probably been three now or four, but there was a bear who made its way into Brentwood and Richmond Heights and literally ended up at the intersection of 170 and 40 at the Metrolink station.
Oh, wow.
So at that point, you're in, that's probably not going to end well because the bear's probably going to run out on the highway at some point, a busy highway, and it caused problems for itself or motorists. So, yes, we did step in at that point. We did tranquilize and relocate it because we considered that a desperate measure. We needed to get the bear out of that situation. Another example, a few years back when one was trapped in a school in Eureka. And so, yes, we needed to get in, intervene, tranquilize that bear, and get it out of that dangerous situation. So that's when we would intervene. Other than that, we're trying to let things kind of go on its own, hope it'll just kind of urge its way, its own way back to better habitat, which seems to be what's happening now.
Yeah, if you think about the travel from, let's say, Brentwood to Imperial, you have the Merrimack River that you need to cross. So unless that bear crossed a bridge, it would have had to have swam across that to keep on going. Do bears swim? I don't even know. Polar bears do, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, they can swim across a river. Yeah, they can get across rivers and stuff. Or like you said, there could be, depending on the river levels low, they might be able to find enough, you know, areas that are shallow enough or enough exposed structures or rocks or whatever to get across. Or they can also swim, too. But, yeah, so that's kind of what our thing is. The other thing, too, is, you know, this is going to become a common and more common occurrence. So it's not really sustainable or realistic for us to trap every single bear that's seen and move every single one of them. Because it's, I mean, I'm not saying that's like deer, but, I mean, it's becoming more and more common, and this is just something that we couldn't sustain anyway. And the other thing, you know, baited traps, you got a baited trap or something like that, and that's going to encourage the bear to stick around and not move along. So we just figure that's the best, not intervention, but monitoring is the best thing. If we need to take action, we can do so.
I was going to say that comparing it to the deer population, I will say, Dan, every morning on my way to work, I see the equivalent of a herd of deer. And if I see a herd of bear, I'm going to be a little more concerned.
That's right.
Well, I doubt we'll ever get to the point we're going to see as many bears as deer, but we'll see more of them, and this will become more and more common as time goes by.
So just to ask one final question on this.
I got one, too.
Well, okay. Well, then mine's next and final. The Baldwin Police Department had to put out something on Facebook warning people not to try to corner the bear or pet the bear. I have a hard time believing. It's sort of testing the Darwin theory there if you're dumb enough to do that. But do you really have to warn people not to approach a bear?
Well, it doesn't hurt. You know, there have been people, for example, here locally in Lone Elk Park, for example, that have approached elk and bison to take pictures and gotten gored.
Okay.
So you know, some people think of them like they're pets or like they're teddy bears or they need help, so we need to feed it. And that's definitely not the case. Yeah, the Baldwin police were very wise at sending that out, because we send out similar communications to folks, you know, don't approach bears, don't feed them, don't give them any reason inadvertently to come to your yard, like pet food or trash or anything like that. When bears are in the area, we want to be more conscious of those things, so we don't attract bears, and definitely don't try to get selfies or anything like that. But we certainly welcome people to take pictures and video bears from a distance and to help us document what's going on and report them to us.
Okay, that's pretty much the same question I had. Sorry.
So it was the last question.
Well, no, maybe it was, but
the 2-4.
So really, because Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors reaches far and wide, we should tell people, you know, don't approach, you know, clean up your trash around your house, because this thing and these things, these bears could be anywhere. So you really do need to, you know, be careful. I mean, especially if you have small animals out or your kids are out in the backyard. Because, I mean, we've all seen these video reels of, you know, bears climbing fences just to get to something sweet and delicious. So it's pretty much the same question. But it is moving south. If somebody felt threatened, though, would it be against the law to shoot it?
Well, I mean, if you did feel immediately threatened, or yourself or your children or pets or something, livestock, yes, you could, under, you know, the wildlife code, do so if you feel immediately threatened. But you should immediately contact a conservation agent and explain the situation, and they would probably then take this and go ahead and you know, possess that. But yes, that would be something as a last resort if you felt you needed to do it. But obviously, any other reason, no, you really couldn't shoot a bear outside our prescribed hunting season, which is in October. So,
okay. Dan Zarlinga, we appreciate you from the Missouri Department of Conservation. Any information about the alligator in southern Missouri that you want to share?
You know, I heard some stuff about that. I don't have a lot of details. I think it's in Lake and Bonterre or somewhere near Bonterre. You know, we get reports from those from time to time, although not recently. But most of the time, what these are people's pets. A lot of people like exotic pets. Alligators are popular as exotic pets. And then one of two things can happen. The thing gets away from them inadvertently, and they don't realize it, or it starts to get a little – it was cute when it was small, but now it's not so cute anymore when it's eating bigger things that are closer to the size of me.
They're saying this one was 3 feet long.
So they release it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so at that point, it's hard to care for a three-foot alligator. I imagine you have to feed them whole chickens every day or whatever they need to eat. So, you know, that's the point where they say, see you later, and they release it. So that could be what happens. And most of the time, these exotic animals don't survive well.
Or now you have to worry about getting bit by a rabid bat. Hi, Kelly.
In our environment, because they're not from here, and without human care, and they haven't been raised in the wild or anything like that, they typically don't survive very well.
Yeah, it's a good point. Sorry, Dan. Carl and I were having our own conversation.
Joking.
Here. Yeah.
See you later, alligator.
Oh, well, by all means.
After a while, crocodile.
Couldn't resist it. Dan Zarlinga from the Missouri Department of Conservation. We appreciate the good information on this, and hopefully the bear, this one at least, is happily on its way down south.
Yes, that's what it appears to be, and as long as that seems to be happening, we're happy to see that.
All right. Sounds good, my friend. We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it, as always.
You bet. Dan Zarlinga there with the Missouri Department of Conservation. That's good. Good stuff. I tell you, I am as jealous as I can be about this next segment, and sad that I don't get to go along on this trip with one Bo Matthews. We're going to talk about his fun weekend with the Motor City Madman that's coming up soon. We'll be back in just a minute.
And this is what I have to say. See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile.
I have it on good authority that that is the greatest riff in rock and roll history.
Absolutely. What authority is that, Mark?
Ted Nugent told me that that's the greatest riff in rock and roll history, and he knows that because he wrote it. So when Uncle Ted tells you something, you have to listen.
Especially if he's saying it in his loincloth.
Oh, man. Do you think he'll be sitting around in his loincloth?
I don't know, but I'm bringing mine.
That would be so awesome. I don't know. I don't know what the weather's like where you're going, Bo. But, you know, as we mentioned at the top of the show, Bo is going to be heading off this weekend while we're all listening to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors and doing a little bit of hunting with Jim Allen and the Motor City Madman. And we got Jim on the phone right now. Jim, I understand that this is your idea, and I'm actually wondering where my invitation was.
Well, good morning to you, fellas. You know, I guess idea is one way to put it, but the truth of it is it's an opportunity.
Yes.
And I usually will strike at opportunities when the time comes. And, you know, there's a lot to this, but there's the hunting, the Ted Nugent, first of all, it's an iconic riff. I don't care what your opinion is, it's an iconic riff.
I love it.
I mean, there's no doubt.
And
I played that song at 15 years old till my fingers bled on my rented Dale's Music guitar from Florissant. And so, you know, it's been in my life a long time. So whether he's slinging a bow, a guitar, or a rifle, boy, he sure hits the note.
Well, did you play Great White Buffalo, too? Did you ever learn that one? That's a hard one.
I haven't played that. I've played a lot of the more fun songs to me, like Free for All, Hey Baby. Yeah. Like those were fun to learn how to play. Cat Scratch Fever, of course, just loud and obnoxious and terrorizing my parents with that amplifier that they bought me.
Because it goes to 11.
That's right.
Hey, I do want to say this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory in De Pere on Manchester Road, because I have blown up Jesse's phone with questions, pre-trip questions. So if you're looking for suppressing, or you're looking for optics, or you're looking for a brand new firearm, they've got them. They've even got some great consignment ones. But head into Razorback Armory as soon as you can. If you've never been, you will love the experience. Jesse and Brad do a great job. Check them out, RazorbackArmory.com. Jim is the one that reached out to me literally 10 days ago, I think it was, and said, dude, we got an opportunity. Now, let me refresh your memory, Mark. This is the same guy that went to, was it Kentucky? Is that right?
Tennessee.
Tennessee. And he went down and he invited me to that thing. And that was the hog hunt where he had to, you know, ride in a side by side. They had the dogs. He told the story here on Second Amendment Radio and had to jump out of the side by side and run up to the hog and stab it in the heart. And he did that. And again, I was invited to that, but I was like, I don't think so. Not for me. But then after that happened, then my, you know, two granddaughters down in Texas, 14 years old, stabbed 50 in one day. And I'm like, okay, I got to do one of these things. And so as soon as Jim sent the email over and said, dude, we got to do this. He goes, I'm doing it. But if you want to go, you're welcome. And thankful because we got it firmed up like within 24 hours of the offer. Now, and I've said to Jim too, Mark, if he would have said, oh, it's, you know, November 14th, we're going to go up and No, but it's quick. You're tearing off the Band-Aid because remember, I have never big game hunt in my life. And I don't know if this is even called big game. Jim, is this big game? Bigger than I've ever shot.
I would say it's medium game.
Okay. So I'm all over it. And Mark, you'll be, both of you gentlemen have tickets in the Year of Guns gun raffle. You'll be glad to know that the win that I had in December, the 6-hour M400 tread, will be my firearm of choice. Nice. Although Jim has a backup for us, and that is a 30-06. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And that's a big old bullet. That's a big old. I shot it the other day, and it was like, wow.
So, Jim, tell us a little bit about this particular hunt. I mean, besides the fact that there's an opportunity to mingle with the Motor City Madman, Uncle Ted, what's the hunt? Where is it? When does it take place? Give us the details.
Yeah, so he has a 340-something acre ranch up in near Jackson, Michigan, with all kind of wildlife. Love to be shooting deer there, but really what we can legally hunt right now is ram and hog. I personally will be going for a ram because, as you know, I have a hog history, so I want to do something new, and I will be using my Matthews compound bow to harvest that animal if I get the opportunity. And so I think Bo wants to shoot at the hog, so I'm excited for him to get his first kill. And the hunting experience is awesome. I'm sure there'll be guides taking us out and putting us in prime locations so we get a good opportunity. And then there's a lunch with Ted Nugent. He's going to hang out for several hours. And if the people that did not harvest an animal in the morning can go back out in the afternoon, all the way up till 8 o'clock or so, right before sunset. So I think there's going to be some good opportunity. They do have a associated taxidermist and butcher nearby that if you need their services, you can utilize that. I'm sure it's some kind of a discounted rate, but that's the hunt day. So I'm super excited about that. I think weather's going to be like 75. This is a Friday event. Bo and I have to be there at 5 a.m. and we're staying 30 minutes away. So probably not a lot of conversation in the car. However, I will tell you that Bo, I understood your apprehension about this whole thing. Cause anytime I call you with a new adventure, you're like, oh, okay. But I'm thrilled that I'm road tripping with the big dog 7.5 hours north to hunt on his first actual hunt, and the fellowship around that is awesome as well. So people that hunt, generally that fellowship, that camaraderie it can't be overstated. Like you're having these experiences and they're just awesome. So that fellowship, I'm looking forward to the ride up. Bo made fun of me, but I made a playlist for the ride, and of course it features Ted Nugent himself.
I love it. Yeah. So yeah, Dan, we were talking about there. Jim, we were talking about this with Bo before in the break. You are going to be around a campfire with Ted Nugent the day after this presidential debate. I bet this guy, he'll be on fire. It won't be the fire. He'll be on fire.
You know, that's worth the trip in its own right. And, you know, everybody understands his political views are very conservative.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was Toby Keith made a comment before he passed about Ted Nugent not being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it was 100% due to his political views.
Oh, yeah.
I know that's not the topic of this show, but I'm sure knowing that environment and how Ted feels, his perspective is going to be, it's going to be hot. And, you know, I'm sure he wants to put some people in a stranglehold. Bada bing. There you go. But he will be amped up, you would have to assume. But you know what? Likely so will Bo and I. So it'll be great conversation.
Yeah.
Well, and what's funny is, as you know, we're texting, Jim and I are texting every single day, like, hey, what about this? What are we going to do? When I realized it was where travel day was the day of the debate, immediately Jim fired back. Okay, we got to leave at 9 o'clock in the morning. So we make sure we're in place, you know, get a good steak and then get in place to see this thing. But Jim, I will tell you that before we brought you on the call, Mark and I were talking. He goes, why don't you go watch the debate with Ted? Well, come on. I ain't got that kind of pull.
Well, I know. But I can just imagine being in a room with Ted Nugent while this debate's going on.
You know, I think it's good to give him time to think through it and have him hit us up with it the next day. Because I'm not sure you'd hear any of the debate with Ted in the room. But I don't know. I have not met him. But I have a funny little connection. I have, 6 months ago, I bought a Gold Tip arrow. And Gold Tip is Ted's arrow of choice. He has his own line in the Gold Tip arrows. And so I bought one 6 months ago, and I had paid an extra $20 to have it signed by Ted Nugent. So I had this with the intention of using it in a trip down south in Alabama this year. I'm going deer hunting with a group. And I said, I'm going to take a deer off your property with this Ted Nugent arrow, and I'm going to send Ted a picture of his bloody arrow. And so they were all jazzed up, and they knew I was serious. But then they called me back when I told them this was happening, and they're like, oh my God, like, how did that happen? Is it because you bought that arrow that you're going on this trip? So there's all that, like, Ted has been kind of present around the old Allen house here for a little while. So I plan to take that ram. I'm saying it right here on the radio.
I have it on good authority that is the greatest riff in rock and roll history.
Absolutely. What authority is that, Mark?
Ted Nugent told me that's the greatest riff in rock and roll history, and he knows that because he wrote it. So when Uncle Ted tells you something, you have to listen.
Especially if he's saying it in his loincloth.
Oh, man. Do you think he'll be sitting around in his loincloth?
I don't know, but I'm bringing mine.
That would be so awesome. I don't know. I don't know what the weather's like where you're going, Bo. But, you know, as we mentioned at the top of the show, Bo is going to be heading off this weekend while we're all listening to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors and doing a little bit of hunting with Jim Allen and the Motor City Madman. And we got Jim on the phone right now. Jim, I understand that this is your idea, and I'm actually wondering where my invitation was.
Well, good morning to you, fellas. You know, I guess idea is one way to put it, but the truth of it is it's an opportunity.
Yes.
And I usually will strike at opportunities when the time comes. And, there's a lot to this, but there's – the hunting, the Ted Nugent, first of all, it's an iconic riff. I don't care what your opinion is, it's an iconic riff.
I love it.
I mean, there's no doubt.
And
I played that song at 15 years old till my fingers bled on my rented Dale's Music guitar from Florissant. And so, you know, it's been in my life a long time. So whether he's slinging a bow, a guitar, or a rifle, boy, he sure hits the note.
Did you play Great White Buffalo, too? Did you ever learn that one? That's a hard one.
I haven't played that. I've played a lot of the more fun songs to me, like Free for All, Hey Baby. Yeah. Like, those were fun to learn how to play. Cat Scratch Fever, of course, just loud and obnoxious and terrorizing my parents with that amplifier that they bought me.
Because it goes to 11.
That's right.
Hey, I do want to say this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory in De Pere on Manchester Road, because I have blown up Jesse's phone with questions, pre-trip questions. So if you're looking for suppressing, or you're looking for optics, or you're looking for a brand new firearm, they've got them. They've even got some great consignment ones. But head into Razorback Armory as soon as you can. If you've never been, you will love the experience. Jesse and Brad do a great job. Check them out, RazorbackArmory.com. Jim is the one that reached out to me literally 10 days ago, I think it was, and said, dude, we got an opportunity. Now, let me refresh your memory, Mark. This is the same guy that went to, was it Kentucky? Is that right?
Tennessee.
Tennessee, And he went down and he invited me to that thing. And that was the hog hunt where he had to, you know, ride in a side by side. They had the dogs. He told the story here on Second Amendment Radio and had to jump out of the side by side and run up to the hog and stab it in the heart. And he did that. And again, I was invited to that, but I was like, I don't think so. Not for me. But then after that happened, then my, you know, two granddaughters down in Texas, 14 years old, stabbed 50 in one day. And I'm like, okay, I got to do one of these things. And so as soon as Jim sent the email over and said, dude, we got to do this. He goes, I'm doing it. But if you want to go, you're welcome. And thankful because we got it firmed up like within 24 hours of the offer. Now, and I've said to Jim too, Mark, if he would have said, oh, it's, you know, November 14th, we're going to go up and No, but it's quick. You're tearing off the Band-Aid because remember, I have never big gamed hunt in my life. And I don't know if this is even called big game. Jim, is this big game? Bigger than I've ever shot.
I would say it's medium game.
Okay. So I'm all over it. And Mark, you'll be, both of you gentlemen have tickets in the Year of Guns gun raffle. You'll be glad to know that the win that I had in December, the 6-hour M400 tread, will be my firearm of choice. Nice. Although Jim has a backup for us, and that is a 30-06. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And that's a big old bullet. That's a big old, I shot it the other day, and it was like, wow.
So, Jim, tell us a little bit about this particular hunt. I mean, besides the fact that there's an opportunity to mingle with the Motor City Madman, Uncle Ted, what's the hunt? Where is it? When does it take place? Give us the details.
Yeah, so he has a 340-something acre ranch up in near Jackson, Michigan, with all kind of wildlife. Love to be shooting deer there, but really what we can legally hunt right now is ram and hog. I personally will be going for a ram because, as you know, I have a hog history, so I want to do something new, and I will be using my Matthews compound bow to harvest that animal if I get the opportunity. And so I think Bo wants to shoot at the hog, so I'm excited for him to get his first kill. And the hunting experience is awesome. I'm sure there'll be guides taking us out and putting us in prime locations so we get a good opportunity. And then there's a lunch with Ted Nugent. He's going to hang out for several hours. And if the people that did not harvest an animal in the morning can go back out in the afternoon, all the way up till 8 o'clock or so, right before sunset. So I think there's going to be some good opportunity. They do have a associated taxidermist and butcher nearby that if you need their services, you can utilize that. I'm sure it's some kind of a discounted rate, but that's the hunt day. So I'm super excited about that. I think weather's going to be like 75. This is a Friday event. Bo and I have to be there at 5 a.m. and we're staying 30 minutes away, so probably not a lot of conversation in the car. However, I will tell you that, Bo, I understood your apprehension about this whole thing, because anytime I call you with a new adventure, you're like, oh, okay. But I'm thrilled that I'm road tripping with the big dog 7.5 hours north to hunt on his first actual hunt. And the fellowship around that is awesome as well. So people that hunt, generally that fellowship, that camaraderie is – It can't be overstated. Like you're having these experiences, and they're just awesome. So that fellowship, I'm looking forward to the ride up. Bo made fun of me, but I made a playlist for the ride, and of course it features on Spotify. Ted Nugent himself.
I love it. Yeah. So Dan, we were talking about there. Jim, we were talking about this with Bo before in the break. You are going to be around a campfire with Ted Nugent the day after this presidential debate. I bet this guy, he'll be on fire. It won't be the fire. He'll be on fire.
You know, that's worth the trip in its own right. And, you know, everybody understands his political views are very conservative.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was Toby Keith made a comment before he passed about Ted Nugent not being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it was 100% due to his political views.
Oh, yeah.
I know that's not the topic of this show, but I'm sure knowing that environment and how Ted feels, his perspective is going to be, it's going to be hot. And, you know, I'm sure he wants to put some people in a stranglehold. Bada bing. There you go. But he will be amped up, you would have to assume. But you know what? Likely so will Bo and I. So it'll be great conversation. Yeah.
Well, and what's funny is, as you know, we're texting, Jim and I are texting every single day, like, hey, what about this? What are we going to do? When I realized it was where travel day was the day of the debate, immediately Jim fired back. Okay, we got to leave at 9 o'clock in the morning. So we make sure we're in place, you know, get a good steak and then get in place to see this thing. But Jim, I will tell you that before we brought you on the call, Mark and I were talking. He goes, why don't you go watch the debate with Ted? Well, come on. I ain't got that kind of pull.
Well, I know. But I can just imagine being in a room with Ted Nugent while this debate's going on.
You know, I think it's good to give him time to think through it and have him hit us up with it the next day. Cause I'm not sure you'd hear any of the debate with Ted in the room. But I don't know. I have not met him. But I have a funny little connection. I have 6 months ago, I bought a Gold Tip arrow. And Gold Tip is Ted's arrow of choice. He has his own line in the Gold Tip arrows. And so I bought one 6 months ago, and I had paid an extra $20 to have it signed by Ted Nugent. So I had this with the intention of using it in a trip down south in Alabama this year. I'm going deer hunting with a group. And I said, I'm going to take a deer off your property with this Ted Nugent arrow, and I'm going to send Ted a picture of his bloody arrow. And so they were all jazzed up, and they knew I was serious. But then they called me back when I told them this was happening, and they're like, oh my God, like, how did that happen? Is it because you bought that arrow that you're going on this trip? So there's all that, like, Ted has been kind of present around the old Allen house here for a little while. So I plan to take that ram. I'm saying it right here on the radio. I plan to take that ram with that Ted Nugent signed arrow, in a whacker broadhead. So we'll see how that goes.
Fantastic. Oh, awesome. You got to pick up a copy of his book, Kill It and Grill It. Did you know he's got a book out? He and his wife wrote a book called Kill It and Grill It, a guide to preparing and cooking wild game and fish. I need that myself. Yeah.
And I will say that the lunch that they're talking about that we're going to have is going to be a wild game lunch. So actually, if we get our kill in the morning and we have that wild game lunch, we might be hitting every rest stop on the way home because of that stuff running right through you. I don't know.
No, it's going to be good. I hope it's venison. I eat a lot of wild game. I've gone through at least a third of the hog that I killed. The sausage is magnificent. But, you know, it's like I said, I'm excited about the whole trip, the whole road trip of it, the whole experience. Oh, yeah. And, you know, I'm sure Bo will fill you plenty in on it on our return. So, but very excited about
it. So I need to ask Jim, because I'm thinking that there may be people listening to this show that would love to have that opportunity. Is it open to the public if you go through the ranch and you're willing to pay the fee to go up and take the hunt? I mean, are these open hunts?
Yeah, so he has also a ranch in Texas where he lives sometimes, and Michigan. They do have group hunts that you can get on and connect with them on their website. I think Sunrise Farms is the one we're going up to. And they do offer that, and they're expensive. So that's a full outfitter. So they do this for a living. But this one, Toby Nugent is his son. That's who we've been communicating with. This is the first time they've done this. So this includes hanging out with Ted. So I ended up getting that invitation, and that's when I'm like, okay, I got to see which one of my friends are man enough to go on this adventure. And of course, Bo, he's like, oh, I'm not sure. Are you serious? And then when he realized it was happening, man, to his credit, he's like, I'm all in.
I just want to say, Jim, you've got a friend in me. So don't mind the Toy Story reference there, but if Bo ever backs out on you on one of these, you know who to call, right?
Right on. I got you. You know, I think if they said this is just a test for them. They're like, hey, we're going to bring some people up and try it out. If it's amazing, I think they're going to put this on the schedule for their typical hunts. So we will see. Me and Bo will try not to screw that up for everyone.
Okay. We appreciate it.
I'm waiting to hear Mr. Nugent would like you escorted to the front gate.
Trying to keep down the fanboy stuff just a little bit.
He is retiring from music, so...
Yeah, he's going on his last tour, and he's not coming to St. Louis. I'm so bummed about that.
But this is his way to still reconnect with his fans.
I see.
Yeah, but he'll, you know what? Give him 5 years, he'll have a comeback tour. He's done it three times, like Kiss. Not a big deal.
Anyway. 50 years of it, you know, a man gets tired. I don't blame him, but Stranglehold will live on forever.
Amen. Amen. You know,
that's right. Well, Jim, my nickname for him is Big Onion because when I met Jim, he was at my tattoo artist like, 25 years ago? He did a big back piece on me. And now he's a CEO of a big software company, and he's just a wild man. So the Missouri wild man is going to be leading the charge as we go up
layers,
on this road trip.
Bo. He's like an onion.
That's why we call him the Big Onion. That's right.
Yeah, it's not because of my breath, hopefully.
Well, Jim, have fun up there, my friend, and I will be looking for a full report by Bo Matthews next week, and lots of pictures, Bo. I want you to text me your pictures with Ted and these hogs that you're killing.
I will, but just for the listeners of the show, we're probably going to do it in 2 weeks because the 4th of July weekend. We'll do the recap in 2 weeks, so make sure you tune in for that. But Big Onion, I'll see you on the road. Here we go.
Right on. Thanks, guys.
Yep, you bet. Have fun. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that. God, I'm so jealous. I just have to tell you.
And I was telling Mark this week that I've had Ted Nugent in my car, and you are going to go on a boar hunt with him. So now Mark needs a little Ted time.
Thank you. I need a Ted talk. That's what it is.
Yeah, really.
I need my own Ted talk. All right. Bo, have fun, my friend, and I'll look forward to the pictures.
All right. We will talk soon. Have a great weekend, y'all. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.